the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Absolutely a picture-perfect day again along the lakeshore today. And tomorrow and the weekend, carbon copies. A look at Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com follows this news. It was a busy Holland City Council meeting last night. The major part was addressing a pay raise for the mayor and council. The Compensation Committee, represented by attorney Nathan Bucks, recommended a 2.4% pay raise. Without a motion, the raise would go into effect. But First Ward Councilman Mike Trithewey tried to get the council members to not accept the raise.
I appreciate the offer. I appreciate the good words. I don't do it for the money. I don't believe on my years of council I've ever voted for a raise. In fact, the last time we got a raise, the money was donated back. Times are better. We're still asking our employees to do an awful lot. 2.4% on our little thing is a couple $300. Not that big a deal. To me, it's more symbolic. I'm going to walk the walk that I've been doing, so I will be voting. This is going to be funny. I'm going to be voting affirmative to reject.
However, the motion to reject did not get a two-thirds majority vote as needed by the city charter, so the raise went into effect as of this past Monday, July 1st. Meanwhile, Phil Meyer, the Director of Community and Neighborhood Services, recommended to Holland City Council members that a beehive-keeping ban should remain in place in residential areas.
There was a proposal made, a draft ordinance put together, and that was proposed to the Planning Commission. The Commission ended up voting 2 in favor and 4 opposed to ultimately not to recommend this to City Council.
A couple of citizens were on hand to ask the City Council to consider changing it, making a point that honeybees are not dangerous, and they do help by pollinating crops, and asked Council to give the matter further study and to reject the Planning Commission's recommendation, so Council will take it up at the next study session this coming Wednesday. City Manager Ryan Cotton recommended to Council members, and they acceded to it by approving a contract with Elsinga and Vokers to renovate the Deswan Windmill.
Action tonight would produce the construction management services needed to roll the whole project under one authority, that being Elsinga Volkers, and get all of the services necessary to effectuate the repairs.
Funding for the project will come from many sources, including $88,000 from city coffers for this fiscal year and other sources. The council approved the contract. Work's expected to get started in September. Goal to complete it by spring of 2014. The City of Holland is trying to help low and moderate income people with purchasing a home.
The initiative will provide a matching grant of 50% for reasonable closing costs and or down payment assistance up to $3,000. Program coordinator Sue Harder says that quite a few people have expressed interest in the program, but there are a few things you'll need to do before applying.
It's a matter of the person being ready to buy. They can apply, but they also have to have their home selected. And when they have all the documents in, then they're next in line. You already have to be approved. You have to complete the home buyer education. You have to be buying or be ready to buy a house. And then when you find the house, obviously we will need to make sure that the house is in reasonably good condition before close.
Community Action House provides the home buyer education course. You'll need a copy of your credit report, a list of debts, a minimum of 50% of the closing cost and down payment expenses. You also have to meet salary requirements. The funds are provided through federal community development block grants. For more information, go to cityofholland.com. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
Resistance is futile. Well, that old science fiction line could have been used by Ottawa County Sheriff's deputies when they responded to a report of a home burglary in Allendale yesterday morning. According to Detective Lieutenant Mark Bennett, a neighbor watching the residence off of 64th Avenue north of Fillmore Street for vacationing homeowners noticed someone inside and called 911.
Deputies responded to that home and found a suspect in the garage who fled back into the residence when he noticed the law enforcement presence. After repeated attempts to establish dialogue with the suspect, the home was entered by Sheriff's Tactical Team and Sheriff's Canine Unit. The suspect was located in the home and once again failed to comply with deputies' request.
Troy Michael Coleman eventually surrendered, treated for minor injuries at an undisclosed hospital, and then taken to Ottawa County Jail. The 27-year-old Hudsonville man has been wanted on outstanding warrants from unrelated incidents and is being held on $5,000 bond on new charges stemming from this break-in. As part of a joint effort, libraries across the state will be highlighted as points to access online Secretary of State services. Secretary of State Ruth Johnson, in making the announcement yesterday in suburban Detroit, says that providing free internet access has become a core resource for local libraries.
It's an express connection that links services and important news updates from the Secretary of State to the citizens through these great community outreach of our public libraries and private libraries.
Holland's Herrick District Library will be one of those access points, but as PR Manager Sarah DeVries explained, system's not up and running just yet.
A lot of the details need to still be worked out, and the website that will be used for that is still under formation and construction. So we don't actually have a lot of answers to any questions about how that will run or work yet, but I do know we'll serve as an access point for internet access for the site that people need to use.
According to one federal study, about 20% of Michigan homes are without home computers, so libraries have proven to be a valuable local resource and tend to be more easily available to those without reliable transportation. It's football season already in Washington, and quarterback Kirk Cousins hasn't even reported to Redskins training camp yet. However, the action is in the halls of Congress and not on the gridiron, as a procedural vote on student loan interest rate legislation in the Senate failed by 9 votes yesterday. Sponsored by Lansing Democrat Debbie Stabenow, it would have extended the 3.4% rate that had expired a week ago.
Let's do no harm. Let's vote to give us a year. We can sit down and spend that time working on all of the issues.
Congressman Bill Heisinger agreed with some pundits who called her idea a pathetic non-solution.
The whole notion of kicking the can down the road was last year's solution. And this past year was supposed to be the time when we were going to come up with a long-term market-based solution. The president suggested that and requested that originally in his budget. And the House delivered that.
The Zealand Republican used the political football analogy to describe what this debate has degenerated into.
It's time that we depoliticize it and that we actually help these families and help these kids with some predictability and that they look forward to what decisions they have to make.
Heisinger feels that this issue goes deeper than just interest rates.
We need to start talking about why college is costing as much as it is and those huge, massive increases in the costs. We have to get to the bottom of that as well.
Efforts to reach a compromise between the Senate's status quo and the House's market rate differences continue. Now, speaking of the junior senator from the state of Michigan, who is also the chairwoman of the House Agriculture Committee, Debbie Stabenow is not happy that America's biggest pork producer is going to be sold to Chinese interests.
So what's the problem?
Food security is a part of our national security.
Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow chaired an Ag Committee hearing yesterday questioning whether the bad practices of the Chinese will rub off on Smithfield.
We need to be evaluating the long-term market implications of this deal for American workers, pork producers, and the farmers who grow grain and feed ingredients.
Smithfield got to be the biggest by being the safest, and their executives claim the Chinese want to know how they do it because their pork industry has problems. They deny it will lead to lowered standards in the U.S. Jim Whelan, WHTC News.
We'll have more agricultural news with WHTC Farm Director Rick Shields in a few moments. Dovetailing CBS's coverage at the top of the hour, as the George Zimmerman trial in Florida comes down to its climactic end, it has attracted national attention at all levels. Lee Fisher, a division chief in the office of Ottawa County Prosecutor Ron France, admits that the case is a tough one for his colleagues in the Sunshine State to prove, especially since the self-defense argument is being presented by Zimmerman's attorneys.
Self-defense is always a tough thing to overcome when somebody raises that claim. It's a very high burden on the prosecutor to overcome that self-defense claim. We have to actually prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he did not act in self-defense. And in a case like this, I think they've got their work cut out for them. I think they've got a very, very tough job down there as prosecutors.
The family of victim Trayvon Martin is already asking for calm from the public, no matter what the final verdict may be, ahead of when the case goes to the jury. Fisher made his remarks in an appearance this morning on WHTC's Talk of the Town program with host Juke Van Oss. Prince Fielder homered and drove in 3 runs, powering the Tigers past the visiting White Sox last night 8-5, and Rick Porcello was mighty grateful for the offensive support.
Playing divisional opponents is always nice to get wins against, and but at the same time, I always feel like no matter who we're playing, we want to beat them, and all those games count towards the standings.
The rubber game of the series at Comerica Park in Detroit is this afternoon with Aníbal Sánchez on the mound, And coverage with Dan Dickerson and Jim Price on 1450 WHTC begins at 1240 p.m.
Uh-oh, a sneak attack.
And it really wasn't that surprising, Space Ghost, to the Northsiders, given his past history that included regular offensive forays while as a member of the Cincinnati Reds, but a struggling Josh Hamilton showed signs of his slugging self by clubbing a couple of homers and driving in five runs as the visiting L.A. Angels disposed of the Cubs last night 13-2.
Getting back to just doing what you do and quit worrying about listening to everybody, putting their own input in, and, you know, listen to the guys here that, you know, really care about, you know, what you do and how you do it, and the coaches and players, and kind of tune everybody else out.
Chicago entertained St. Louis to open up a four-game series at Wrigley Field this evening. Ketel Marte had three of Clinton's 10 hits and scored twice as the visiting Lumber Kings defeated the Whitecaps last night 6-1. The series at Fifth Third Ballpark continues this evening. You can catch all of the action with Ben Chiswick and Dan Elvey on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com starting at 6:50 p.m. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com calls for sunny skies this afternoon, high 81, clear tonight, low 59, more sunshine tomorrow, high 82. For the weekend, partly cloudy Saturday, high 85, abundant sunshine on Sunday with an abundant high of 85. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.